Hello, and welcome to The Weekly, a look back at WHQR's top stories of the past 7 days. It's Saturday, October 8th. I'm Caitlin Freund. On Monday night, four of the five New Hanover County commissioners voted to approve the sale of the hospital to Novant Health and to create a private community foundation to manage the proceeds. WHQR's Rachel Lewis-Hilburn has the details.
Whichever way they voted, all five commissioners noted the momentous nature of the vote, starting with the chairperson, Julia Olson-Bozeman.
By joining our hospital with Novant, we are securing health care for generations to come. We are promising a better quality of life, more access to care, greater innovation in technology, enhanced academic experiences, and less health disparities. We are guaranteeing safe, high-quality, cost-effective care for every person.
The community endowment, says Olson-Bozeman, will change lives by allowing for investment in local services and organizations that serve the underserved. Vice Chair Patricia Kusak admits the process fractured friendships. She says she's been vilified, accused of being on the take, and personally benefiting from the sale.
I'm guilty. I'm guilty of wanting the best path forward for health care for our region today and in the future. And I'm guilty of insisting that we protect $1.2 billion for the transformation that it will provide for this community for generations to come. And yes, I'll benefit financially from this transaction, just like every one of you, each and every person who lives here in this county now, or who's going to come here to live in the future. Through borrowing less money, paying for programs as we need them.
And, says Kusak, county residents will pay less in taxes and enjoy one of the top credit ratings in the country. Commissioner Jonathan Barfield, who refused to show his hand until the vote, also supported the sale. Commissioner Woody White said it was the first time a single vote of his would change so many lives at once. But for that lone dissenting voice, Commissioner Rob Zappel, it was about the community foundation.
If it were possible today for a motion to separate the approval of the purchase agreement from the other issues in this resolution, I would vote yes. I would support Novant's purchase of the hospital.
It's a good deal for the residents of New Hanover County, says Zappel.
However, tied to the vote today is the structure of the community foundation that will be funded with $1.25 billion of taxpayer money. As the bylaws are currently written, I cannot accept putting control of that money into the hands of a private foundation.
And Zappel insists that the law is flexible and that the foundation could be both public and return a higher yield on its investments.
Through legislative action titled Expanded Local Authority, we can do what other counties in North Carolina, Forsyth, Pitt, and Durham counties have already done. Apply for and receive approval for a more flexible strategy in investing public money.
Barfield seconded Zappel's motion to separate the vote on the purchase agreement from the foundation bylaws, but there was no other support.
Madam Vice Chair,
call the question.
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
It passes 4-1, and we will take a break to celebrate and to sign and just to celebrate.
The North Carolina Attorney General's office now undertakes its own review of the transaction. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, WHQR News.
On Tuesday evening, the Wilmington City Council approved a 10-year contract with Live Nation to manage the amphitheater at Greenfield Lake. Hannah Brasinger has more.
According to city staff, the amphitheater has been a successful venue since it was renovated in 2008. In the past 5 years, its use has increased by 60%, but staff hopes the new agreement will help draw in even more visitors from out of town. Live Nation has already been authorized to manage the venue under construction at North Waterfront Park. That decision was made back in October of 2017. Tuesday's vote was 6-1 with dissent from Councilman Kevin Spears. Tuesday's council meeting also featured a presentation from Wilmington Police Chief Donnie Williams concerning numerous reforms the department has initiated since the George Floyd protests. Those reforms include implicit bias training, increased field supervision, and more community involvement in the promotion process for officers. WPD is also participating in the ABLE project, promoting peer intervention, as well as a pilot study where officers issue citations instead of making arrests for minor offenses. The next council meeting is Tuesday, October 20th. Hannah Breisinger, WHQR News.
New Hanover County schools open for in-person classes on Monday, October 12th, but as Rachel Keith reported on Tuesday, parents and teachers still have questions.
At last night's Board of Education meeting, parents were asking,
"Is there enough staff to support teachers on Plan B? I can't begin to imagine how difficult it's going to be to teach while keeping children safe. Will children be disciplined if they decide not to wear a mask?"
And teachers wanted administrators to know they have their own concerns and demands. Amanda White is the local chapter president of the North Carolina Association of Educators.
"The district must commit to staying in Plan B until at least December 18th. Every teacher who returns to school with students needs to be provided with N95 masks."
White claims about 50% of those who have requested to teach remotely have been denied, and she adds teachers' needs must be accommodated. And Carla Turner, the county's assistant health director who presented at the meeting, said coronavirus infections are increasing.
"I will tell you, on our state health department call that we have every Tuesday today, it was shared that in North Carolina we did have an uptick in positive cases."
But when board member Nelson Bollier asked Turner and county health director Philip Tart if there was any reason they shouldn't reopen on Monday, they both replied,
No.
Thank you."
Later in the meeting, board member David Wortman expressed his preference to return to all in-person instruction.
"I would strongly encourage administration to talk to Brunswick County and see what they're doing in an effort to move us forward to Plan A. And again, Plan A is a choice."
And with in-class instruction starting in less than a week, New Hanover County schools still have 3 open positions for nurses. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
As Election Day nears, WHQR has you covered on the local races. In the past week, we have published interviews with candidates from House District 16, House District 17, and on Coastline, Rachel Lewis Hilburn interviewed candidates for House District 19. You can listen to all of our local election coverage, as well as find voting information at whqr.org. On Thursday, UNCW hosted its annual Economic Outlook Conference, and despite the difficult year we've had so far, Rachel Keith reports that forecasters are optimistic for 2021.
Adam Jones is a regional economist with UNCW's Cameron School of Business. His forecast for 2021, it'll be a much better year for business growth. It can't, he says, be worse than 2020. But according to Jones, the Wilmington area might lag behind the country's rate of recovery.
"Only because we're such a seasonal service industry here. And the nation, I think, will get rolling more in the early half. We're going to have to wait for a little bit more warmer weather as we get closer to summer, but the opportunity is coming. So optimistic for 2021.
Jones also says there's no clear shape to the way in which the economy will ultimately rebound, but he says the current trajectory looks more like a check mark.
"A quick contraction, we bounce back relatively quickly, but that last little bit is going to take us a fair amount of time to close. So think about it this way. We've seen large gains already simply from allowing businesses to reopen, but there are also a lot of businesses that are really struggling, and some of them aren't going to make it."
And Jones says the $3 trillion in stimulus money at the beginning of the pandemic really helped get the economy back on its feet, and that wealthier households are saving more money. But at the other end of the spectrum, most low-income households have used up all the stimulus money they've received. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
You're listening to The Weekly from WHQR Public Media. Last week, the Wilmington Fire Department hosted a series of conversations on divisiveness in the country. But as Rachel Keith reports, the goal wasn't to change anyone's mind. Here's the story.
I'm Nick Shepard. I grew up in Swansboro, North Carolina.
Nick, who's Black, has worked for the department for 6 years. His dream as a young kid was to grow up and become a firefighter.
The first time that I ever put out a fire was big field in front of my house caught on fire, and I ran back and forth with a bucket and put the fire out before the fire department got there.
And it was Nick who approached the fire chief about having conversations with his colleagues about the acrimony in the U.S. over race, protests, and politics.
There was a lot of negativity going on in the world. Our department as a whole, Wilmington Fire Department, we don't have these issues in our department, but I wanted to make sure that we understood that different people came from different backgrounds, and we all do have different perspectives.
Nick, along with six other moderators from diverse backgrounds, wanted their fellow firefighters to contemplate questions like,
how did you grow up? What words really trigger people emotionally?
Eli Venecia, like Nick, is a six-year employee of the department. He's a Mexican-American and says this wasn't necessarily sensitivity training.
I don't know that sensitive is the word that I would use, but yeah, so the main goal there was to just understand that it's okay to get someone else's opinion and not necessarily accept it as your own, but that you can at least, listening to it, it will help you to maybe empathize with someone else.
The Wilmington Fire Department employs a little over 200 line personnel. About 89% of them are white, 5% are black, and 4% are Hispanic. And it's a male-dominated profession at 96%. Deborah Jo Hartz is one of just a few women. She's been working as a Wilmington firefighter for 13 years and was one of the moderators along with Nick and Eli. In the beginning, she says there was some reluctance and confusion about the conversations.
No one exactly knew what we were going in there to talk about. I think there were some concerns on what it was going in.
But she says ultimately one of the goals was to show that respectful dialogue is the foundation for discussing any uncomfortable topic.
I know sometimes tempers can flare, and when you feel very passionate about a subject, if you can't go in and be an adult and have a logical conversation with someone from the get-go, then you need to take a step back and kind of calm yourself down before you go into any conversation.
All of them, Nick, Eli, and Deborah Jo, hope the discussions will continue so the department can work together as a cohesive unit, ready to serve the Wilmington community. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
On this week's Around Town with Rhonda Bellamy, Rhonda spoke with Kevin Lee-Y Green, who was selected for a National Dance Project grant from the New England Foundation for the Arts. You can hear that interview on WHQR.org. And that's what's happening in the Cape Fear region. A final note, this week is our fall pledge drive. And next week, WHQR will also be airing uninterrupted coverage of the confirmation hearings of Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. It's been a challenging year for all of us. With a global pandemic, ongoing natural disasters, on top of an election year. But if this is the kind of coverage that's important to you, and important to your community, we're asking for your support. Please join us and become a member by calling 910-343-1138. That's 910-343-1138. And thank you. As always, you can listen to our continued news coverage at 91.3 FM. Visit our website or stream us online anytime at whqr.org. For WHQR News, I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly.